Lesson 11. Text A. The richer, the poorer. Pre-class work. 3. Read the text a third time. Learn the new words and expressions listed below. Glossary. Ambition. Band. Cashier. Clarity. Conscience. Contrast. Dime. Dismal. Embrace. Emerge. Enhance. Errand. Expand. Fantasy. Finery. Freshman. Frugally. Giddy. Grieve. Gypsy. Horn. Humble. Indulge. Intolerable. Lavish. License. Lumpy. Marvel. Mattress. Miracle. Miserly. Onrush. Parlor. Quit. Retire. Salon. Seek. Second rate. Sentimental. Shabby. Skate. Smart. Sorrow. Splendid. Spree. Stomach. Suffer. Suitcase. Threadbare. Top heavy. Transform. Trapped. Urge. Vague. Wardrobe. Wistfully. Proper names. Bess. Elizabeth. Lottie. Charlotte. Pre-class work. 1. Read the text once for the main idea. Do not refer to the notes, dictionaries, or the glossary yet. Over the years, Lottie had urged her sister, Bess, to prepare for her old age. Over the years, Bess had lived each day as if there were no other. Now they were both past 60. Lottie had a bank account that had never grown lean. Bess had the clothes on her back and the rest of her worldly possessions in an old suitcase. Lottie had hated being a child, seeing her parents constantly worrying about money. Bess had never seemed to notice. All she ever wanted was to go outside and play. She learned to skate on borrowed skates. She rode a borrowed bicycle. Lottie couldn't wait to grow up and buy herself the best of everything. As soon as anyone would hire her, Lottie put herself to work. She looked after babies, she ran errands for the old. She never touched a penny of her money, though her child's mouth watered for ice cream and candy. When the dimes began to add up to dollars, she lost her taste for sweets. By the time she was 12, she was clerking after school in a small variety store. Saturdays she worked as long as she wanted. She decided to keep her money for clothes. When she entered high school, she would wear a wardrobe that no one else would be able to match. But her freshman year found her unable to indulge this fantasy, particularly when her admiring instructors advised her to think seriously of college. No one in her family had ever gone to college. She would show them all what she could do if she put her mind to it. She began to bank her money, and her bank book became her most precious possession. In her third year of high school, she found a job in a small but expanding restaurant, where she cashiered from the busy hour until closing. In her last year of high school, the business increased so rapidly that Lottie was faced with the choice of staying in school or working full-time. She made her choice easily. A job in hand was worth two in the future. Bess had a boyfriend in the school band, who had no other ambition except to play a horn. Lottie expected to be settled with a home and family, while Bess was still waiting for Harry to earn enough to buy a marriage license. That Bess married Harry straight out of high school was not surprising. That Lottie never married at all was not really surprising either. Two or three times she was halfway persuaded, but to give up a job that paid well for a homemaking job that paid nothing was a risk she was incapable of taking. Bess's married life was nothing for Lottie to envy. She and Harry lived like gypsies, with Harry playing in second-rate bands all over the country, even getting himself and Bess stranded in Europe. They were often in rags and never in riches. Bess grieved because she had no child, not having sense enough to know she was better off without them. Very likely she would have dumped them on Lottie's doorstep. That Lottie had a doorstep was only because her boss, having bought a second house, offered Lottie his first house at a price so low and terms so reasonable that it would have been like losing money to refuse. She shut off the rooms she didn't use, letting them go to ruin. Since she ate her meals out, she had no food at home and did not encourage callers, always expected a cup of tea. Her way of life was mean and miserly, but she did not know it. She thought she lived frugally in her middle years, so that she could live in comfort when she most needed peace of mind. The years after 40 began to race. Suddenly Lottie was 60, and made to retire by her boss's son, who had no sentimental feeling about keeping her on until she was ready to quit. She made several attempts to find other employment, but nobody would hire her. For the first time in her life, Lottie would gladly have worked for nothing, to have some place to go, something to do with her day. Harry died abroad, in a third-rate hotel, with Bess weeping as hard as if he had left her a fortune. He had left nothing but his horn. There wasn't even money for her passage home. Lottie, trapped by the blood tie, knew she would have to send Bess money to bring her home. It took Lottie a week to get a bedroom ready. A week of hard work and hard cash. There was everything to do, everything to replace or paint. When she was through, the room looked so fresh and new that Lottie felt she deserved it more than Bess. She would let Bess have her room, but the mattress was so lumpy, the carpet so worn, the curtains so threadbare that Lottie's conscience bothered her. She knew she would have to redo that room too, and went about doing it eagerly. When she was through upstairs, she was shocked to see how dismal downstairs looked by comparison. She tried to ignore it, but with nowhere to go to escape it, the contrast grew more intolerable. She worked her way from kitchen to parlour, persuading herself she was only improving the rooms to give herself something to do. At night she slept like a child after a long and happy day of playing house. She was having more fun than she had ever had in her life. She was living each hour for itself. There was only a day now before Bess would arrive. Passing her gleaming mirrors, at first with vague awareness, then with painful clarity, Lottie saw herself as others saw her and could not stand the sight. She went on a spending spree, from the specialty shops to beauty salon, emerging transformed into a woman who believed in miracles. She was in the kitchen cooking a turkey when Bess rang the bell. Her heart raced, and she wondered if the heat from the oven was responsible. She went to the door, and Bess stood before her. Stiffly, she suffered Bess's embrace, her heart racing harder, her eyes suddenly smarting from the onrush of cold air. "Oh, Lottie, it's good to see you," Bess said, but saying nothing about Lottie's splendid appearance. Upstairs, Bess, putting down her shabby suitcase, said, "I'll sleep like a rock tonight," without a word of praise for her lovely home. At the lavish table, top-heavy with turkey, Bess said, "I'll take light and dark, both," with no marvelling at the size of the bird, or that there was a turkey for the two elderly women, one of them too poor to buy her own bread. With the glow of good food in her stomach, Bess began to tell stories. They were rich with places and people, most of them lowly, all of them magnificent. Her face reflected the joys and sorrows of her remembering, and above all, the love she lived by, that enhanced the poorest place, the humblest person. Then it was that Lottie knew why Bess had made no mention of her finery, or the shining room, or the 12-pound turkey. She had not even seen them. Tomorrow she would see the room as it really looked. And Lottie as she really looked, and the warmed-over turkey in its second-day glory. Tonight she saw only what she had come seeking, a place in her sister's home and heart. She said, "That's enough about me. How have the years used you?" "It was me who didn't use them," said Lottie with regret. "I saved for them. I forgot the best of them would go without my ever spending a day or a dollar enjoying them. That's my life story, a life never lived. Now it's too near the end to try." Bess said, "To know how much there is to know is the beginning of learning to live. Don't count the years that are left us. At our time of life, it's the days that count. You've too much catching up to do to waste a minute of a waking hour feeling sorry for yourself." Lottie grinned, a real wide-open grin. "Well, to tell the truth, I felt sorry for you. Maybe if I had any sense, I'd feel sorry for myself, after all. I know I'm too old to kick up my heels, but I'm going to let you show me how. If I land on my head, I guess it won't matter. I feel giddy already, and I like it."